We are entering the most important week of our church calendar. Oh, there's lots of weeks that are important. I think Vacation Bible School is important. I think revival meeting is important. By the way, I think church campout is important. Amen. I love that week. Amen. Week after Father's Day, Brother Tom. Amen. We have a good time of fellowship one with another. But there's not a more important week on our calendar than Missions Conference. I hope you'll be faithful this week. You know what we're doing this week? Loomis Park Baptist Church, we every year, Brother Lowell, we call a special business meeting. And it's a week-long business meeting for the fate of the souls of men and women around the world. It's called Missions Conference. In 2010, the first Missions Conference I was privileged to be your pastor for, our theme was keeping the home fires burning. And our focus was on the importance, Dr. Vick, of the local church. Yesterday I mentioned I played ball down in Oxford and I was heading up Telegraph Road and I had gotten there early. And Brother Collins, I drove by 645 South Telegraph Road. It used to be Emmanuel Baptist Church. Huge building. When I was there, Brother Collins, in 1997 through 2001, it was still people all over the place there. People being saved. I'm told in the late 60s and early 70s, you had to leave your Bible on the pew to get a seat. It sits today empty and dilapidated, broken windows all over it. Made me weep. There is no church there anymore. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we better keep the home fires burning here at home. Why? Because missionaries are depending upon us. By the way, remember that next time you get a little tiff with somebody. I'll keep it here. Many a church has been destroyed through a tiff and a missionary had to come off the field because we didn't have our hearts right. Let's keep the home fires burning. Amen. Amen. It's 2011. Our theme was looking for laborers. By the way, Jesus is still looking for laborers. It's the only prayer request He ever gave. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. In 2012, our theme was so much the more. It's not a time for less church. It's a time for more church. It's not a time for giving less to missions. It's a time for giving more. Why? The time is so short, folks. 2013, 2 Corinthians 8:8 was our theme. Our theme was proving our love. And I'm here to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I know this church loves God. Say, how do you know, Pastor? Every fourth and fifth week when I look at that figure out there on our missions board, it tells me that we love God. Because you know what? We put our money where our mouth is. Anything you love, you'll give to. Anything. Anything you truly love. Listen, you love your kids, you give. Amen. You love your church, you give. You love your pastor, you give. And I know, I'm not saying you don't, I'm saying you do. Amen. Proving our love. And then last year, our theme was for His sake. For His sake. Why do we put those cards in? Why do we put that extra? Listen, I know some of you, and I appreciate you mentioning this, Brother Collins, some of you could be given more to a retirement plan and more to a 401k and more, but you know what? You give to missions. Why? Because it's for His sake. It's a whole lot more important that people get saved for all eternity than it is that we have a comfortable 20 years. I'm not against saving, and I'm not against retirement. You don't misunderstand me at all. But it's for His sake. The Bergs, the Buchers, the Burtons, the cases, the Koreas, Faith Music Missions, the Ferraris. By the way, I love that name for a missionary. Amen. Ferraris. He came and preached for us last year at our conference, and they had just had a new baby. He said, look at this, we got a brand new 2014 Ferrari. Amen. The Grahams, the Gibbs with the National Center of Life and Liberty, the Harrises, the Hayes, the Haytons, the Hernandez, the McClures, the McLeans, the Nonos, the Addisons, the Paris, the Pierces, Miss Barb Perrine, the Pratts, the Rewersmas, Brother Kelly, the Rewersmas, amen. Brother Kelly always has trouble with that one. Amen. The Smoots. Miss Joyce Spieth will be with us this week. The Tharps in Ireland. And the Wrights. Those are our missionaries. It's our obligation. It's our obedience, and God's obligation is our theme for 2014. If you look at 1 Kings chapter 17, you know your Bible, you know that this was a terrible time. It's the kingdom of Israel, the northern kingdom in 850 B.C. And one of the most wicked kings, as a matter of fact, I believe the most wicked king, Ahab is on the throne in Israel. If you jump back to chapter 16 and look at verse 25, you find it says, but Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord and did worse than all that were before him. That's Omri, and that's Ahab's daddy. Can I say something completely not in the notes, but it's still free? Dads, probably your kids are going to love what you love and hate what you hate. Let's make sure we train up our children in the way that they should go. Let's make sure we love what God loves. Amen. And then it says of Ahab there in verse number 30, it says, and Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Sins that we commit in leisure, our children will commit in excess, is proven by this verse right here. Oh, Omri was the worst, Brother Ken, but Ahab topped him. And then if we could look even further in verse 33, it says, and Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. This wicked king who wrought wickedness in Israel and caused others to perform wickedness. And praise God for chapter 17, verse 1. We see the divine declaration by way of introduction. What's the divine declaration? And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord thy God of Israel liveth, and before whom I stand, there shall not be rain nor dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. If you jump over to chapter 18, verse 17, I love these verses. It says there in chapter 18, verse 17, and it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Old Elijah. By the way, Elijah just doesn't say, oh, well, shucks. You know, it's tough to be a Christian. Sometimes you just got to walk away. I'll tell you what, he didn't do that either. You know what he did? He said in verse 18, I have not troubled Israel, but thou in thy house, thy father's house. For ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and has followed Balaam. You know, we live in a society now that thinks we're the problem. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. We're not the problem. Sin is the problem. And people that would advocate the legitimacy of sin are the problem. Proverbs 14:24 tells us about the nation. I think of Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And it talks about it in Proverbs 14:34. Then at the back half of the verse it says, but sin is a reproach unto any people. Elijah stood right in the face of that wicked king with the power of God and said, you're the problem, buddy. Doctor buddy or whatever buddy, king buddy, amen. He said, you're the problem. You're the one that's forsaken God. Boy, Brother Collins, we need men like that. We need men that'll stand in the power of the Holy Ghost and preach. Preach. Preach, amen. Not talk. Not share. Preach, amen. Oh, Elijah was a preacher. My heavens. See a divine declaration there. What's the declaration? He says, it's not going to rain until I say so because of your wickedness. But then we see a divine drought. By the way, if the prophet says it's not going to rain, Brother Deke, probably means there's going to be a drought. Amen? And you know what happens here? There's no rain. And James chapter 5 tells us it was 3.5 years that there was no rain here. And there's that divine drought. Look at verse 7. It says, and it came to pass, of chapter 17, I'm sorry. It says, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up where God had sent him here. Why? Because there had been no rain. So we see divine declaration. We see a divine drought to try to bring Ahab back to himself. And then we see divine direction, don't we? Chapters 2 and 3, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying, verse 2 and verse 3, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. And if you jump down to verse 8, after that's all done, we see, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. And behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. We see divine declaration. We see divine drought. And here we see a divine direction. God tells him what to do. God tells him what to do. What does it say? And the word of the Lord came unto him. Aren't you glad you have the word of the Lord? Right here. Amen. But then we see that Elijah and the woman are faced with divine decisions. You see the declaration and the drought and the direction. And then we see divine decisions. Look at verse 5. Remember verse 2 or verse 3 said, get thee hence. God said, get thee hence. Verse 5, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. By the way, that'd be a great epitaph on a tombstone. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Went and did according to the word. Then if you jump down to chapter 17, verse number 8, you remember here the strange request of Elijah. The word of the Lord came unto him, and Elijah there, it says, verse 8, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath. And then in verse 10, what does it say? He arose and went to Zarephath. And then we're introduced to this widow woman. And God had spoken to her. Remember, he said, I've commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. And Elijah comes to this poor widow. And verse 10-11, he has a strange request. First of all, he asks for some water. You say, why is that a strange request? Because it's a drought. It's a drought. One of the great parts of the story on in 1 Kings chapter 18 of the Mount Carmel is when Elijah says, go get some buckets of water. Yeah. I wonder where they got that from. Maybe they were hiding it out, stashing it, I don't know. But you remember just bucket after bucket after bucket. And it was John R. Rice that said, God can make a fire with wet wood or dry wood. Amen. I like it. Amen.
And here he gives a strange request. He says, "I'd like a little water." And then he says, "But and give, make me a little cake also, just a little piece of bread here, if you would." And then we see her reluctance in verse 12. There's a request. Then there's her reluctance. She says, "Look, all I have is a handful of meal and just a little bit of oil, and I was just on my way to gather a couple sticks and make that for myself and my son, and then we're going to die because there's no food and there's a famine in the land because of this drought." You'd be reluctant too. Man of God came to your house and you had just a little bit of food left, and he'd said, "Give it to me." It sounds self-serving. I promise you it's not. It's not. It's not like this guy down in Atlanta that I hear. He's asking his church to give him a $65 million jet. Not quite the same, Brother Collins. Amen. Not quite the same. And so we see her reluctance, but then, praise God, Elijah gives her a reminder. In verse 13, it said, "And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Don't be afraid. You're not going to die. Don't be afraid." Why? "Go and do as thou hast said." What does he mean there? Go ahead and make that for your family. "But make me thereof a little cake first. And bring it unto me. And after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." What was the reminder that he gave to her there? First of all, of course, he said, "Fear not, don't be afraid." But you know what the reminder that I see, Dr. Vic, in this text is? That God wants to be first. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Hey, listen, we're creatures of worry. I think it was when Brother Leonard was preaching, and he said, "What's worry? Worry's like, what did he say? He said, I'm not having a bad day, but I think I'm going to have one." Amen. I think that's a good attitude. It's probably accurate about worry. And one of the biggest things that we worry about is money. Do you know if you put God first, you don't have to worry about money? I'm not saying be foolish. I get so tired of quote-unquote faith promise preaching that says, "Well, if God, give your house payment and God will give it back to you." God gave, Brother Matt, God gave you your employment so you could make your house payment.
That's right.
But on top of that, God wants to be first. God wants to, think about that in your own life. Is He first in the morning? Is He first throughout? Hey, today's the first day of the week. You're here. You're assembling. Amen. The reminder is that God wants to be first. And then we see her response, which is so great, in verse 15. "And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he," that's Elijah, "and her house did eat many days." God's man told her to do something that was a bit strange. And what happened? She did it, and what happened? Verse 16. "And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah." What happened? God wrought an amazing miracle. And what was the reason, ladies and gentlemen? The reason is, yes, an incredible God. Amen, amen, and amen. But I'm going to tell you what the human reason was, is that she obeyed God. That's our theme. Our obedience equals God's obligation. You see, over and over in the Scriptures, God says, if you'll obey, I'll do this. Over and over. If you obey, I'll do... By the way, I think about this in regards to Deuteronomy chapter 28, when Israel was getting ready to enter into the promised land. 14 verses, Brother Collins, of blessing. He said, if you obey me, I'll bless you with this, 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 I'll bless you with this. Verse 15 through the end of the chapter, about 50 verses. Brother Travi says, if you disobey, if you don't obey, worse than oops, Brother Merrill. Worse than oops. Awful plagues. Awful. Listen, you know this. To obey is better than sacrifice. And why did they experience this great miracle? Because she obeyed God. Our obedience equals God's obligation. I've got 6 points today. Our obedience equals God's obligation. First of all, in provision. In provision. We can look back at chapter 17. Look at verse 2. It says, and the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that was before Jordan, and the ravens... I love this. That's such an awesome miracle. Raven is the dirtiest bird you ever seen in your life. I was driving on the highway the other day. By the way, logged 1,400 miles this week, back and forth to Flint and up to Gaylord and over to Oxford yesterday. Thank you for praying for me. I appreciate it. I drove, and it looked like this deer was hit probably about a day ago, Brother Lolly. And there was about 18 of them ravens all around. Amen. I dry swerve, amen. Get right next to them. They fly away, amen. Awful, unclean bird. What does it say here? They brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. Brother and Mrs. Leonard and I were over here, and Brother Williamson the other night, he was actually preaching out of this text. It blessed me because I knew I'd be preaching on Sunday. And he talked about, he said, where do you think they got that bread and flesh? Where do you think they got that bread and flesh? He said, I think it came right from Jezebel's table. Amen. And he just went in there rah, 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 and took it right out of there and left. And I, Brother Horst, I think about him traveling with that bread and flesh in their mouth, saying, going one to another, I can't believe I can't eat this stuff. I just can't believe it. Amen. They got to go drop it to the man of God. Amen. And then just drop it out to him. Hey, what happened? Imagine if he had disobeyed, Brother Wiesner. He wouldn't have had bread and flesh in the morning. He'd have had drought in the morning and drought in the evening and a hungry stomach in between. But when he obeyed God, God obligated himself to provide. Do you know what the New Testament sister text on provision is? It's Philippians 4. And by the way, it's about missions giving. Read Philippians 4, and Paul says, look, not that I desire a gift, but I desire that fruit may abound to your account. And he talks about how at the very end, he says, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What are you trying to say, Pastor? What are you trying to get across? I'm trying to say that when we obey God, God obligates Himself to provide. By the way, in this matter of giving, God's to be obeyed first in the tithe. The tithe is the Lord's. Say, Pastor, you're always talking about money. No, I'm not either, but I am today. You folks know I don't always talk about money, amen. Don't do it, amen, but I am today. The tithe is the Lord's. But I'm here to tell you something. When you give to missions, because missions is important to God. Right. Seeing souls saved is important to God. When you give to missions, I promise you this, and so many of you could say amen. You could tell story after story after story of how God provided. That's right. God obligates Himself to provide for your needs. Obligates Himself.
absolutely does. How do you know? The Word of God says so. You can claim that promise. Amen. Provision. He obligates Himself in provision. Secondly, He obligates Himself in His promises. 20 years ago, in Mountain View Baptist Church, I claimed the promise of Romans 10:13. I had long hair, about down to here. Can't believe it, all the way around. Looked like, what was it, Cousin It? You know, just walking around with hair, amen. And I remember bowing my head and that invitation and the preacher just pleading for people to be saved, amen. Thank God for old-fashioned invitations, amen. And I asked Christ to save me. And you know what happened? The Bible talks about in 2 Thessalonians 1:8, it talks about when the Lord comes back in flaming fire with vengeance on those that obey not the gospel. And you know, the new translators say, oh, that's a mistranslation, Brother Sam. It shouldn't be in there, obey not. What's the only way you can obey the gospel? Receive it. It's the only way. When I received the gospel, when I obeyed the plan of salvation, God obligated Himself to all kinds of things. God obligated Himself to eternal security for me. Amen? Amen? Yes. He said, they shall never perish. God obligated Himself in redeeming me, buying me back. God obligated Himself in justifying me. Literally, right now in heaven, when God looks at me and God looks at you if you're saved, He looks at us just as if we have never sinned. Why? Because we obeyed. He obligates Himself. He obligates Himself. I thank God. And by the way, I could preach all day, and Brother Collins, we could preach, teach and preach entire semesters on what God obligates when we get saved. Get the Holy Spirit sealed unto the day of redemption. Amen. When we obey, God obligates Himself to His promises. Oh, I thank God for that. Promises, provision. Uh-oh, here we go. Pastor's going to preach heresy. Prosperity. Here it comes. Go to Psalm 1. Let me show you what kind of prosperity I'm talking about. Psalm 1. We had a prosperity preacher today. Send him my way. My wife's away. I'll have him clean my house. Amen. Special business meeting, church discipline on my mother. Amen. Can't make this stuff up, Deke. Amen. Prosperity. Blessed, Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So there's obedience or disobedience right there in that verse. You want to be blessed? Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. You don't want to be blessed? Walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You can obey or disobey. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall... It's not a secret. God says this: if you will obey me in verses 1 and 2, if you'll not take the counsel of the ungodly, and you'll not sit with sinners and in the seat of the scornful, and you'll delight yourself in my word, I will prosper you. What is it? It's a matter of obedience. Listen, I know. You use terms like obey and obedience, and people think you're something out of an Orwell novel. Listen, with God,
Why wouldn't we want to obey? Yes. He obligates Himself every time we do. Listen, I do this as a parent. Clean up your room. If you clean it up real good, you can have some ice cream afterwards. If you don't clean it up at all, not only no ice cream, but other things. Amen? God says, look, if you'll obey me, I'll prosper you. Prosperity is not a whole bunch of money. Get that out of your mind. There's people with a whole bunch of money. I think about when, I believe it was Rockefeller that had a sick child. And he said he would have given anything. He'd have given every cent he had if he could make his child well. Think about how good God's been to you. Obey Him in this idea of not getting your counsel from the ungodly. You know, by the way, sometimes, fellas, it's time to turn off talk radio. Did I just flip my glasses? I did, didn't I? Just leave them right there. Sometimes it's time to turn that stuff off and put in old Alexander Scorby. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to some preaching. Amen. It's amazing how those men invariably get profane. And at least you say, well, you listen to Rush Limbaugh or Mark Levin or anything like that? Brother, until they start to get profane, then it's time for them to go. Yeah. We don't need to take our counsel from the ungodly. Let's take it from the Word of God.
That's right.
You'll do that. And you'll get in that book and you'll delight yourself in that book. He'll prosper you. Prosper your heart. Prosper your life. Give you good things. Amen. Prosperity. Am I okay? Am I still okay, a prosperity preacher? No. How about protection? God obligates Himself in protection. I don't have time to go there. You know the story of the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace. Yeah. God obligates Himself to protection. What did they do? Everybody bowed down and worshiped the image, and old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, the names I like, they were just kind of... Boy, everybody's bowing down. Somebody drop something? Did you lose a contact lens or what? Everybody's down on the ground looking. Amen. And remember, they brought him before the king and said, King, look, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. Our God is able to deliver us. Our God is able to deliver us out of your hand. But if not, know this, we're not bowing. We're not bowing. And you remember Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, threw them, had them thrown into the fiery furnace. And it's such an interesting story, too, because it said that those that were guarding them and taking them to the fiery furnace, they were burned up immediately. So I guess, Brother Collins, they had to actually kind of jump in or fall in or something. Amen. And Brother Jared, when they got in there, they said, it's cold in here. Amen. Anybody got a blanket? God protected them. Think of all the times, Brother Miss Hendershot, that God protected you. Obedient on your way home from church on a Sunday. God protected you. Over and over and over. God obligates Himself to protection. And then, next, God obligates Himself to plenty. Here comes the prosperity preaching right here. What's Malachi 3:10 say? Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. And then He says, and prove me now with, and see if I will not pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. 2 Corinthians 9:6, after that great missions treaties in chapter 8, what does He say there? He said, if we sow sparingly, we'll reap also sparingly. But if we sow bountifully, we'll reap also bountifully. Folks, we've seen this unfold right here in our church. Seems like every business meeting we have, Brother Kelly gets up here to read his report. 2014 quarterly missions report. How's that for Brother Kelly impersonation? Pretty good, huh? Amen.
And he'll say, we started this quarter with $14,600 or whatever it is, and we had this much come in, and then we had $12,000 in committed disbursements, and we had $2,000 in honorariums and projects and all that. And then when he gets all the way done, we started with $14,600, Brother Ken, he'll say, and we ended this quarter with $15,200. Amazing. Last year we paved our parking lot for $136,000. When we ended the year last year in our general fund, we were up 80 in the black. How does that happen? Obeying God. Obeying God. Just obeying God. Obeying God. He promised plenty. He says here, if you'll just obey me, I'll pour you out a blessing. Unbelievable how it works. Give and it shall be given unto you. Not just a little. Good measure. Pressed down. Running over shall men give into your bosom. And not just so we can have, folks. So we can give more. Lastly, I'll be done. God, our obedience equals God's obligation in provision, in promises, in prosperity, in protection, in plenty, and in purpose. Jesus said to His disciples in John 4:35, say ye not 4 months and then cometh harvest. Look unto the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. You know, God so loved the world that He gave. He gave His only begotten Son. He gave. What is God's purpose that He obligates Him to? Well, I certainly think that He needs help in the harvest, Dr. Vic. I think certainly that. Amen. And I think He so loved the world that He gave. And He said, give and it shall be given unto you. And we looked at that concerning plenty. But when we give, especially to worldwide missions, we focus less on ourselves and more on God and more on others. And you know what happens when that happens to us? We begin to fulfill our purpose. You say, Pastor, what's my purpose? To be conformed into the image of His Son. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know what Jesus is all about? Others. Others. You know what missions is all about? Others. Others. It's what it's all about. Missions is all about others. You say, but I don't know if I can. You got the wrong pronoun in there. But I don't know if He can. Oh, what did He say there? He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me in Philippians 4. He obligates Himself. Obedience is one of those things, it's a lifelong endeavor, isn't it? None of us has arrived in obeying God. None of us, not one of us. Every week we disobey God. And you can say amen with me. Every week we disobey God in some area. We come to Him and we want to get it right. And listen, some of you are new Christians and you're just growing. And don't you worry about it. Amen. You just keep trying to become more like Christ. Amen. But for those of us who have been saved a little while, as we look at this great week before us, our obedience equals God's obligation. When we obey God, we begin to fulfill our purpose. And I'm going to tell you, nothing helps that along more than giving to worldwide missions. Our obedience equals God's obligation. Father, thank you this morning for this service. Thank you.